what a great tune that was. This is .com and the Den Mondays, not the MTV Hour, but we like to start with a classic hit. And speaking of classics, I'm Roger Aldridge. And also joining me, of course, from Wolf Den is my stable mate, Richard Irvin. Rich, where do you look on the weekend? There was great racing and huge wins everywhere.
I absolutely loved it. It was actually a really interesting weekend of racing. A lot of new interesting horses emerged. There's a lot to talk about. Great racing.
That's why we have a show on a Monday.
Caulfield was great. This is true. And Gosford was great as well. Plenty to discuss, and you're going to lead the way. Let's rock and roll.
Let's get into Straight Six.
The Straight Six.
All right, we have to kick it off with the Group 1, the Goodwood. Obviously, it was almost all eyes on Giga Kick, but Reserve Bank was probably the one that most people who weren't on Giga Kick were on. He's had a brilliant Adelaide Carnival and probably booked himself a spot on a stallion roster somewhere, although Rich, times are tough in the stallion market these days.
He'll definitely go this, become a stallion, beautifully bred. Huge rise for him. So he was favourite in the English Sprint, I guess it was February or something, at Flemington, and didn't run particularly well. And you wouldn't have thought that there's any chance he could end up, you know, finishing his preparation off by winning the Goodwood, but he did. Great ride by Jamie.
Bang, 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 really, didn't he?
Incredible. Just kept rising through the grades. I wouldn't have saw that, but it's happened. Great ride by Jamie Mellum. Slightly outrode Mark Zara. Little bit of heat on Zara for his ride, but you go back and look at it, I mean, you know, the winner and Giga Kick were sort of in the same position. Maybe, you know, he went a little bit wider, but Giga Kick just didn't quite quicken like Reserve Bank did, and that's why it got beat.
I'm not going to jump off Giga Kick on the back of that, though. I know some people are saying, oh, geez, where is he at now? Well, he'll be better for the run, and he'll continue to be well-weighted in handicap company, given he hasn't won for, since his three-year-old season. So, just before we move on, we will look at the Kingsford Smith market eventually. He goes to that race now. Now, if he wins that, he's going to be weighted out of the straddy. But that's the race. That's the race that he is targeting this campaign.
I think he's a massive chance. I think
huge chance.
It's 1,300 metres, isn't it? I think just sets up beautifully for him. He'll be better for that run. Yeah, I think it just looks perfect for him. And he has a great record up in Queensland as well. Just finishing off on Reserve Bank, so he'll go to the paddock. Do you think they'll run him again into the spring? Because, he's sort of got a bit more to prove, doesn't he? Like, I mean, he's a Group 1 winner, so if they wanted to, they could send him to start.
It's going to be a bit like the Schwartz scenario. Now, Schwartz gets a win this weekend at the Doom and Ken K, then he goes to a start with two Group 1 wins under his belt. Well, Reserve Bank's got a win in a Goodwood, a pretty weak Goodwood too. You say, oh yeah, someone will find a spot for him. Maybe, but try and add some more. I mean, is he up to it? I don't know, but you might as well have a crack because the stallion roster is crowded. You might as well stick around and win some more prize money.
Yeah, they need him to stand out. So, and you know, he'll get his chance. I mean, Mick Price wants to run him in the Everest. So who can doubt him after his rise through the ranks? With that, but on Mick Price and Mick Kent Jr., they've totally dominated the Adelaide Carnival. The poor run of the race was Charmstone. Ben Millon this time said she just never travelled well, was never into it, and they're going to tip her out. So she's sort of, two and done, really, which is a bit surprising.
Yeah, but she's done her job. She's now Group 1 winning mare as well. So she's got a lot of value as a broodmare. Like you said, Price Kent, great carnival. Jamie Carr, that was obviously her first Group 1 win of this carnival, but she's been second and thirds, and she's had a ripper without winning until Saturday. So to get the big one in her home state carnival, that's a great thing for, Jamie Mellon. So I'll have to put money in the jar.
Easy to do. You want to throw that Kingsford Smith market up, Rog? Let's have a look. Yeah. So Giga Kick, $4.50.
With Jolly Star. Jolly Star going probably likely to go there and not the Stratty, you would imagine. Overpass $8 with Schwartz. I don't think Schwartz will go there. I think it's Doombin 10,000 and Retirement. Benedetta $11. That market's going to be nothing like that.
On race day, yeah. No. Which it's 3 weeks away, I think. And then what will also affect that quite a bit is what happens in the Doombin 10,000,
exactly,
which is this Saturday. But we'll look at that a bit later on. Any other highlights at Morpheville, Rog?
Yeah, I think let's start at the Proud Miss. It's one of two races I'd really like to take a little bit of a closer look up. Cleo Cat is the winner here, and Cleo Cat is a winner. 7 wins from 8 starts. Bouncing off a win at the Warrnambool Carnival to a group race in Adelaide, Tob Dabbing's got her absolutely flying. She's been progressing very nicely through the grades. Now, I'm not sure how high she can climb, but she is sort of one of those horses that looks like she just sort of steps up to the level she's at every time. And that's the sort of good, honest horse. As an owner, you'd absolutely love. There will be better races for her down the track. I don't think she's a Group 1 horse, but there's nothing to say she can't win better races than this.
Well, let's talk about Mornington Glory. So Mornington Glory went through the winter last year, then came out as a, well, not last year. Last year, and then came out
as
a Group 1 win. I'm getting confused. Don't even know what day it is.
It's Stockholm and the Dem Mondays, mate. So it's a bit of a dead giveaway.
Yeah, it's Monday. Okay, got it. It's Monday. So Tom Dabenig said that they'll probably go the Bell Esprit in 3 weeks' time, 1,100-metre race at Caulfield. And then I think they'll just pick their way through the winter sprint races. A bit like, you remember, Recommendation did it, and also Mornington Glory did it. And so I think that's perfect for her. And look, Mornington Glory did it, came out and pinched a Group 1. And because you get those Group 1 sprinters that come back at the start of spring, and you got these seasoned sprinters who have been going through the whole winter season. They can sometimes come out and just have that residual fitness that gets them over the line. So we'll see.
Yeah, and the other big winner it's that day, this was eye-catching, Regal Asmon. Now, had to overcome a monster weight swing between he and the highly fancied stablemate Aaron Bay. How about this? He has drifted more than Tom Hanks in Castaway. $2.80 favourite before people realise the weight swing. And then I think it's $13 by the time he crosses the winner, just ahead of a 15. 15. Well, he would have been higher on the exchange as well.
Yeah, so, $20 on the exchange, I heard.
Imagine if you took 280 fixed on Wednesday afternoon and then you've watched him cross the line at 20 sick. And gone, oh, shit, I've done myself out of an absolute. The missus won't be happy. I can't borrow a good Mother's Day present now. But Aaron Bay, like I say, had a great weight swing. I know he's Rayman's best of the weekend. And look, Stokesy gave him a really good push on radio too, which is probably another reason why. He was very much in Aaron Bay's corner. Or was he? Was he trying to get the price on Regal Asmon? Did Stokesy have a plunge on the exchange? We'll probably never find out because he doesn't say much of the best of times, old Phil. And I don't think he'd be saying that one either. But it was, like I say, it was Chautauqua-like Regal Asmon down the outside.
Yeah. And so Nonconformist ran fourth. We backed it in the pot.
How'd the pot go?
We just lost. We just lost $50.
Well, you got a few runs on the board still.
Yeah, we're going along all right. Everyone has a good time. So, usual stuff, you know, seconds here and there. But just couldn't look like it was going to be a big day, and then we just couldn't finish it off. But, I just thought Nonconformist, not a bad run, a little bit flat-footed and probably going to be better for the run. He's obviously a very good horse on his day. He was completely outclassed by Regal Asmon on the day. But not too bad a run. All those horses are certainly ones we want to follow over the next few weeks. I'm not sure really where they go. I wouldn't think that they're up to Brisbane grade, really.
I think there's good off-season horses, though. How many races are left for them, I suppose? But I'd imagine there'll be a few around. Keep picking them off. Speaking of off-season racing, let's head over to Caulfield because the feature race at Caulfield on the weekend was a benchmark 100 over 1,400 metres. So that's the Thoroughbred Club of Australia handicap, which probably sort of tells us exactly where the racing was at over this one the weekend. But still some nice, there was a few horses I'd like to follow here. The first of which is War Machine. He won this benchmark 100. Now, there's a few scratchings that probably set up well for him. LOU I was keen on beforehand. It came out as well. He was a bit stiff in the Hariba War Machine and obviously bounced well into this. And now he's going to the Stradbroke. Now, I would probably rather another winner from Saturday in the Stradbroke, albeit a winner at a different track. But, geez, the Team Hayes will never die wondering. And he's just come into their care after the Ballymore merger, I suppose you'd call it. Whichever way you call it. So he's now in under the Hayes boys. And he's going to the Straddy. And I think he's about a $13 chance, which does seem a bit short.
Yeah, BRC sprint before that. And if he performs okay in that, he'll go into that. But, yeah, look, very competent win. I don't have much more to say than that.
There was a couple of other winners Saturday. Mary Eliza was a Welbeck winner of race six for me good mate Moods and also Catherine Coleman. I thought she was going to go ahead to the Queensland Oaks, but I actually just spoke to Catherine Coleman about 10 minutes ago and she will be going to the paddock. Smart two-year-old took out the opener, and that is Prince Tycoon, who was an even money favourite after scratchings and won like a very handy horse for the Bussin Young stable.
Yeah, we actually did back this in the pot. Just gets there, they'd be happy with that. You know, didn't go right on with it, but look, a competent win for a first starter, and I believe they think they might go to the Magic Millions National 2-Year-Old Classic on May 23. which is worth $1 million. So that'll sort him out. It'd be huge if he could win that at his second start.
Hmm. Now, if you wondered why we played Joker and the Thief at the top of the show, that is because Richard Evan is very happy with his work in terms of the headline for Antino's victory in the Hollandale Stakes on the weekend. The Jockey and the Thief.
They've done now, it again. They're highway robbers, these two.
Antino's win in the Toorak back in the spring was the second best of the carnival behind VS Astana and the Cox Plate, and that was one of the best wins of all time. But this was super impressive, stretching out in trip this campaign. So this was his first run beyond 1,600 metres, and it was dominant. I was very sceptical of him getting out to a trip. I assumed the mile was his go, but Tony Golan, surprise, surprise, he knows a lot more than me and you, Richard. But he got through ground that a lot of horses did not.
Yeah, Shinny just lit him up. At top of the straight, you know, it'd be the top of the Gold Coast straight's a bit early to go, but Shinny obviously remembered that, you know, if Antino's on, he just really accelerates hard and in the conditions obviously felt really good under him. He just lit him up at about the 500. Just went straight past everybody like they were stuck to the fence. Went on for a huge win. I had a sneak peek at Dano's ratings. He rated 104 in that race. Faulkner Park, really, I thought it was a fantastic run for him. Onto the Q22. Of course, he won the Q22, which is that 2,200-metre race on Stradbroke Day. So it'll be June the 14th. So I think he's cherry ripe for that. The Beaten Brigade, I'm not going to worry too much about it. Obviously, you got Buckaroo, Lindemann. They were really, really poor.
Well, this is the interesting thing, though, Rich, because Buckaroo was a noted wet tracker. Alias is a, you know, from France and noted wet tracker. Just Folk, well, obviously went too hard at the start but, and probably wasn't up to this class, but a noted wet tracker. But this track was not your average wet track. So, it's like funny. Tim Clark said that Alias just didn't handle the heavy track. And post-race vet, this is like a Stuart speed round within the show. Post-race vet showed that the gelding was coughing. He'd require a vet clearance and the results of an endoscopic examination prior to next racing. Probably swallowed some mud, I'd imagine. Buckaroo, same. You know, J-Mac said that he didn't handle the heavy conditions either. And post-race vet, there was no apparent abnormalities. So, like I say, they are two horses who I would have thought, oh, yeah, if they get a wet track, then they're in this up to their eyeballs. Buckaroo, regardless.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just
a bit of a dog's breakfast, didn't they?
Yeah, it's a bit of a dog's breakfast, that track. And I don't know how much you can take out of that race going forward, Rich. And I suppose if we want to look at the next race, unless you've got something more to say,
let's look at the Dooming Cup because that'll...
Yeah, there's the Dooming Cup market. Obviously, surprised as any, $3.60 favourite off the back of her return win as awaited certainly last week. Leave me out of that. Antino, well, you've got to think he's going to get 2,000 if the way he got home there at 1,800. Buckaroo, $7 along with Faulkner Park, Alias, 11s. It is a wide open Dooming Cup and another one where I think that market's going to change very much dependent on track conditions, weather conditions, and barrier draws.
$7 Buckaroo is probably what would interest me the most out of that lot.
Yeah, and what happens if we get a downpour on Dooming Cup Day?
That'd be no good.
Yeah, exactly. So Gold Coast Guineas was another dominant win as well. I thought 1,200 metres would be too short for Bizusto, but as part owner Anthony Mithen pointed out, both in the lead-up and when confidently tipping him on Moody on the mic, and also again post-race on text, he was a 102 rater against a bunch of 80s. He should have made a mess of them, and he did, even just if he was short of his best trip and on a ground that, to be honest, they were worried about him on this sort of ground. It was a smashing of the highest order, a bit like in the Hollander.
Yeah, well, Amelia's Jewel, his sister. Sold for $3.8 million at the chairman's sale earlier in the week. And I think with that win, he sort of solidified himself as being worth more than that.
He needs to get a group one.
I reckon he'd still go to, being Amelia's Jewel brother, he's still going to go to start even if he didn't get another group one.
He's got a group one placing, but if he goes on, and I do think he's a huge chance in the Stradbroke. If they get good ground out to that trip, he is in hot form and seems to love racing in Queensland. Of course, he had that great win in the Magic Millions race in January. He grew one placed over there in New Zealand or beat behind sort of Here to Shock. So how strong group one, I don't know. But I agreed. He's an older horse, but he is hitting his straps. But I do think Bizusto, And what a time to win it too, because obviously Peter Bizusto, who he's named after, passed away a couple of weeks ago after a battle with cancer. So, and you can see that Josh Parr wore the bike armband in memory of the great Buzz. So it was a very emotional win on many levels, and and a good win as we go deeper into the Queensland Carnival toward the feature race of it all, Stradbroke.
Yeah, and I heard your man Mytho saying that he got a text from Bazzasto's wife, who said that she saw the win.
On Bazzasto's phone, no less. That scared the shit out of him.
Yeah, right. Well, there you go. That was a nice story. So he'll go to the Fred Best before he goes on his way to the Stradbroke. The Fred Best is for three-year-olds only. It's coming together to be one of the hottest races of the carnival.
It could be better than the Stradbroke, to be honest.
It could. Yeah, we got depth of character going there for different horses. So.
My concern is if... is the Fred Best weight for age? I'm not sure.
For three-year-olds.
Because, you know, true. Yeah. So I just worry that if Giga Kick doesn't go to the Stradbroke and, say, Jolly Star doesn't go to the Stradbroke, then Bazzasto's going to be carrying a fair weight because we're not going to have any... That's going to be...
The Noonan boys were talking about this on the on their show on RSN yesterday morning, saying that he might end up with more weight than people realise. So tread carefully.
Yes, exactly. Do that. That's why I always say this about futures markets. So that was one good win. And another great win. This is probably the win of the weekend. And this is Beedman. A damn shame.
Watch it quick in here. I love this. Look at this quick in. This is what a good horse does, even on that shifty track. Ooh, what a machine.
Well, the track was in a bit better condition at this time of day. But I don't know what was behind Beedman here. But this was an utterly dominant display. 8.2 lengths over 1,200 metres is a dead set smashing. So this is a group three for the two-year-olds. I think a lot of the good two-year-olds might be in the paddock at the moment. So, yeah, like I say, who knows what Beedman beat. I thought he would probably head to JJ Atkins. That looks highly unlikely now, Rich.
Yeah, well, there's a bit of confusion around. Peter Snowden said afterwards that he'd go to the Queensland size. I text Henry Field yesterday to say, congratulations, nice to see you. Got a really nice horse. And we just had some gentle banter. And he said that he thinks it's going to go to the paddock and they're going to aim it towards the Coolmore in the spring. So we'll find out soon. Often owners and trainers have slightly different ideas of where they're going to go. Do you think he'd be competitive in a Coolmore?
I mean, I think off the back of that, I don't know. I haven't looked at time. Did he run time?
I'm not sure, but I think he ran.
He might have beaten a bunch of 58 raiders there. Who knows?
Yeah, but it's just the way they did it. Like, if you were going to frame a mark, if there was a Coolmore Stud Stakes market now, I reckon he'd be pretty close to equal favourite. I don't think bookies would take a risk with him. He's just got that X factor about him. He looks like he could be the best 2-year old of the season. You know,
I think he surprised. I think he probably surprised Peter Snowden, to be honest, how well he did that there. If he had been trained by Darren Beedman, would that be considered nepotism? And speaking of good horses, nepotism.
That's true. I mean, nepotism, yep. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting two-year-olds out there. I don't know where Beedman will fit in. And, yeah, well, I mean, it would be great to see him go on to the size over the 1,400 and the JJ Atkins over the 1,600. But Henry Field said that he thinks he's a real speed horse.
There was a good win also at the weekend at Gosford for the Ladbrokes Racing Club. We're going to talk about that with Tom Hackett on Cook the Book.
Cook the Book.
All right, let's get into Cook the Book. Kingsley Bartholomew is a late scratching, so we've brought Rich Durbin up from the reserves to sit on this segment. But Tom Hackett, the resident Rainman from Ladbrokes, is here. Welcome to you, Tom. Big win for the Ladbrokes Racing Club on the weekend. Know Thyself, and the LRC is really hitting form, probably at the wrong time.
Yeah, no, Know Thyself absolutely flying. Just keeps on winning and keeps on stepping up every time that the bar is raised. So now as a horse, it's going very, very well. And I think the world almost is oyster. Always had a huge amount of upside, and yeah, be interesting to see where it does get later in its career. And what the plans are for sort of next spring.
I was just going to say, Rog, do you have any kind of idea what kind of target they might have in the spring? Like, imagine might have another race or two this prep, but then spring, would they go to that, you know, some kind of Group 1 race? Do they think he's up to that? Do you know?
Yeah, I think maybe not necessarily a Group 1 race, but I think finding the right pop-up race. We know that the Sydney Spring Carnival is full of, like, obviously you've got the Everest and the Golden Eagles, the hero pop-up races, but you've got all sorts of different type of races that you could sort of pick and choose your way through. So I think, I don't know exactly what race it would be, but there's a lot of options there for horses in the Sydney Spring these days. And I think, yeah, looking for the big prize money is the way to go.
Yeah, he's been well placed so far. So I'm sure they'll continue that. Sorry, yeah, Roger, where are you going?
No group one target. So the world being his oyster did feel like a stretch when you said that, Rain Man. Clearly it was. Let's get on to what happened at the weekend with the Goodwood and the Giga Kick, of course, going out as a short price favourite. There were question marks over him upon return. Is that did that have an impact on the betting market, and was he therefore a reasonable result?
He was an amazing result for the book, really, Roger. The punters, there may have been some concerns about Giga Kick's return in the amongst the experts, but the day-to-day casual punter did not care one bit. We held $850,000 on Giga Kick. He would have been a losing result of $874,000. We were top of the market most of the way through, and we used our... We're involved with the Channel 7 racing coverage, and we used that to showcase that we were top of market for Giga Kick. But he was, and it makes sense. Like, he's a well-known popular horse who was essentially thrown in at the weights. It's very easy to see why he was so popular. But no, he was one of the best-backed horses we've seen of the year thus far, and was a big winner for the book. Reserve Bank was a winning result of $652.30. Wow. So it was a very, very big result for the book. But I almost a perfect result, really, because I don't think Giga Kick lost any admirers. He found the line nicely, and he'll go to the Kingswood Smith, where he'll be well back once again, I believe.
Yeah, I absolutely think he'll be one of the hot ones in that race, and punters should find him. I think he'll be far better suited there. Hey, Moots had Mary Elizabeth in at Caulfield on the weekend, and he just about declared it on Moody on the mic, and she was 550 into 260 and saluted. Was that a big loser for you guys?
Yes, Moots, you know, he's a Ladbrokes ambassador, but he's certainly done us no favours on Saturday. He was amazingly bullish about Mary Eliza on Moody on the mic. It was very well backed. We tried to keep it safe, but punters just kept finding it. It was the best backed horse of the day at Caulfield. Ended up being a losing result of $526,384. So luckily, we did get Giga Kick rolled, because those two combined would have made for a very ugly day of on the book. So Mary Eliza, another horse that will head up to Queensland now for Stradbroke season.
No, she's going to the paddock, mate. We just broke that news a short time ago. I spoke to Catherine Coleman just to make sure she could fill in on the podcast this week, and she's off for a spell.
Moods would be devastated. I hope Moods has been told of this and he's wherever he is now.
He's fled the country.
He's fled the country. He's that upset about Mary Eliza going to the paddock. But no, I think we sort of have joked about it at the moment. The Moody Coleman stable, they're winning per strike rate, and they're sort of back at a sort of day-to-day level, but they're probably lacking now the stable star following the retirements of I Wish I Win, Train of Lightning, Autumn Angel. But Mary Eliza could be the horse to, not saying she'll be as good as those horses, but I think she could fill the void as the banner horse for the Moody Coleman stable going forward.
Hey, one race we touched on already, Tommy, in terms of betting, and I'd love to know how it was on the trading floor, but 260 Regal Asmon opened on the weekend, and then one at anywhere between 13 and 20 bucks, depending where you were betting. What was that like at Ladbrokes?
Well, I didn't really want to talk about this race, Rog, because I had Aaron Bayes, my
I also mentioned
today,
this as well.
yeah, that was a disappointing result. So we didn't see quite as much. Like, we didn't open Regal Asmon that short. With Regal Asmon with us was with $4.60. So it was a funny race. Like, Aaron Bay was the second best back. There was good support late for Nonconformist returning. He was actually the worst result in the race for us. Aaron Bay was a losing result of 210,000. Regal Asmon, a winning result of roughly the same figure. So yeah, I think it was one of those, it was a situation where the wrong price went up. It probably eventually got out to something about what I think was probably its right price, despite the fact that it did win the race. And then there was a bit of a spruik around Aaron Bay as well. So I think, and Nonconformist as well. There's a lot of sharps who were on Nonconformist late. So I think it was just one of those, it was a little bit of a messy market. And then that drift probably did go too far. But if you took the early overs, you'd almost wish it had lost. The early unders, I should say.
Absolutely, you would. The overall result for the Adelaide Carnival, I mean, it was probably, in terms of the horses that went there and the quality of the races, it absolutely is still stronger than it was 5 or 6 years ago, but it probably wasn't the strongest of Carnival. How was it from a betting perspective?
But Goodwood Day numbers were well up year on year, and I think you can credit Giga Kick for a lot of that. I think having a banner horse like Giga Kick on the card really does help elevate that as a meeting. And the Goodwood, I think, probably in recent years has struggled a little bit, but I think with the presence of Giga Kick there, it did get a lot of cut through that it probably hasn't had in recent years. The SA Derby meeting is what it is. Like, it's definitely, of the three, it's always the flattest meeting. I think everyone has talked about the future of the SA Derby and whether it deserves to be a Group 1 race ad nauseum. So no real surprises there.
No one pushing that harder than you, Tom.
Yeah, I do feel quite strongly about that one. But then Australasian Oaks and Robert Sangster Stakes Day was up as well year on year. So I think across the board, it was a very solid carnival. And now we turn attention to Queensland for Stradbroke season. First Group 1 this weekend with the Ladbrokes Doom and 10,000.
Yep, this is your time to shine indeed, Tom. Thanks very much for checking in with us again on .com and the Den Mondays. And we will talk to you next Monday.
Thank you, Tommy.
Thanks, boys.
Sneak peek.
All right, let's look at this Saturday. And we're off to Flemington headquarters here in Melbourne as the VRC Winter Series cranks up. And a golden ticket, Rich. A golden ticket into the Melbourne Cup. Not for sale.
Of course. You've got to win your way in. One of my favorite. I love the Andrew Ramsden. Looking forward to that.
Well, I am too, because Moods, he's going to have Elmer Rise. Well, that was the plan, Elmer Rise going into that. So I'd like to see the big fella with a runner in the Melbourne Cup. Is she up to it? I'm not sure. We'll find out. But the Doom in 10,000 is the feature race this weekend, the Group 1, and also a big Moody on the mic connection there with Mitho and Schwartz. And
yeah,
well, we will not hear the end of it.
I'm cheering Schwartz on. I hope it wins for
Well, Schwartz team. Needs to find a jockey.
Yeah,
because Blake Shin has taken his suspension after... So he wants to ride Antino.
He chose Antino, yeah.
He did. I don't think they're too happy down there at Rosemont, just quietly. Also, the Scone Cup Carnival is this weekend as well, so that will be the feature racing across New South Wales. So a good weekend. As we can see there, the market for the Doom and 10,000 overpass $3.80 favourite, $5 for Schwartz. Benedetto, another Group 1 winner out of the Adelaide Carnival last year at sixes with Sunshine in Paris, and then double figure odds for the rest of them. Mizzou will hope it's a track like we had on the weekend. Richard, what another quality edition of .com and the Den Mondays. As we look forward to, well, we're reaching we're almost at our climax here on .com and the Den Mondays. We will go through till Stradbroke.
Stradbroke, so yeah, that'll be our climax. Yeah, no, I love today's show. I love horse racing, and I can't wait to get stuck into all the racing next weekend and then be back here to update everyone on what we think about it all, and we'll see everybody then. Thanks for the support.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.